From Alexander Hamilton's earliest days on the West Indian island of Nevis, he was an energetic, high-spirited, and unusually bright boy. Recognizing Alex's potential, his mother saw to it that he attended Jewish school. Because Alex was small and slight for his age, his teacher had him stand on a table to recite the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. Looking back, Alex was grateful that he'd had a dedicated teacher who introduced him to his favorite subject, mathematics. And she started him on reading. Young Alex enjoyed reading more than anything he could think of. Alex was born to Rachel Levine and James Hamilton on January 11, 1755, on Nevis, a tiny British island in the Caribbean Sea. Rachel and James were not only down-and-out poor, they had also never married. Rachel already had a husband, Johann Levine. Though Rachel and Levine had a son, their marriage was unhappy from the start. In 1750, while living on the island of St. Croix, Levine had Rachel thrown in jail for being twice guilty of adultery. As soon as Rachel was released from jail, she ran away. Before long, she met up with James Hamilton, the ne'er-do-well son of a Scottish lord. Rachel and James had two children, James Jr., born in 1753, and Alex, born 2 years later. The illegitimate boys learned all too soon that they were politely called natural children by some people, and not so politely called obscene children by others. When their father was offered work in St. Croix in 1765, 10-year-old Alex and 12-year-old James Jr. sailed with their parents to their new home. A beautiful 84-square-mile island, St. Croix was set like a jewel in the Caribbean, with a population of 10,000. 9,000 of whom were slaves. Sugarcane was king. The sugarcane plantations produced what all the world wanted: sugar, molasses, and rum, which earned incredible riches for the white plantation owners. But James wasn't a plantation owner, and like every other job he had held, success at his new job wasn't to be. "My father's affairs at a very early date went to wreck," Alexander Hamilton wrote years later. Living on the edge in St. Croix's little town of Christiansted wasn't easy for Alex. Here, he was with a father who was a failure and a mother who was the subject of gossip and disdain for having been in jail. And it seemed to Alex that everywhere he went, people flaunted their wealth. Alex's life became even harder when his father announced to his family, in 1766, that he was leaving them and wouldn't be back. But Rachel was a survivor, and she began to sell groceries out of their tiny St. Croix home for a local merchant, Nicholas Kruger. Alex was a survivor too, and he pitched in. Although he was only 11, he took over his mother's accounts and bookkeeping. Mathematics was his special talent. Because selling groceries wasn't enough to keep them going, Alex hired out to do bookkeeping at Nicholas Kruger's successful import-export business. For sure, he'd rather have been in school, but he was only free to go from time to time. At least he met his best friend there, Ned Stevens, with whom he took vows of eternal friendship. Surrounded by magnificent estates and elegant homes, Alex's family struggled to make ends meet. The charm and beauty of St. Croix's sandy beaches, tropical sea breezes, and azure Caribbean waters were lost on them. Then Rachel fell ill with a high fever, and her recovery became the boy's only concern. She grew sicker and weaker by the day. On February 19, 1768, Rachel died on the family's only bed, side by side with grief-stricken 12-year-old Alex, who had been laid low by fever, too. With their father out of the picture and their mother dead, Alex and James were now orphans. What a long walk it was to the St. Croix graveyard for the two boys. No doubt they wept behind their black veils as they followed their mother's hearse to her grave, and the brothers were left with nothing of Rachel's to remember her by. The St. Croix courts awarded her belongings to Rachel's adult son by Levine, whom she hadn't seen for 17 years. Later, however, Alex was given her books, which he treasured. Alex and James's situation didn't improve when the courts named their cousin, Peter Litton, to be their guardian. The two boys were sure that Peter Litton cared nothing for them, and he didn't. Because he was a failure in business, Peter had little money, certainly no money to spend on his young cousins. At least Peter's father, Uncle James, pitched in to help keep a roof over the boys' heads and food on their table. But in July 1769, Alex was dealt another blow when Peter Litton committed suicide. A month later, Uncle James Litton died, too. Alex and James's only hope was that they had been left some money, no matter how little. But they received nothing. Alex and James were alone and homeless. Alexander Hamilton, who had endured his father's disappearance and his mother's death, as well as town gossip and public humiliation, had learned to hold his head high. Never one to dwell on the past, Alex would always be a take-charge person, ready to move forward. And that was what he would do now.